Morning, folks. This is Scott, your host at Sharing the Burden. We're live at 102.9 FM, whistlefm.com, formerly Whistle Radio. Sharing the Burden believes in life recovery. We are a life recovery group, and we follow the 12 steps of sharing the burden to support the hurting. All are welcome at our meetings. We hold weekly meetings in several locations. Check out sharingtheburden.ca to find the meeting closest to you, or start your own. And we need one in Stouffville soon. And here we are with my friend Ken. Ken's been on a little while ago, but Mr. Ken K, we'll call you today, because, you know, we have anonymity is an important part of this program. I don't really know his real name anyway, but I think we call him Ken at this juncture in his life and at in this part of the territory. So, Ken, are you escaping or is everything cool?
Escaping. always watching out for things, for sure. Yeah, no, so, it's kind of a mixed bag.
Yeah. So well, you've been doing what you always do, some work and
I've been
handyman guy and that sort of thing, and waiting for something big to come down and you know, to tie you up. Because no, seriously, like in your business, I mean, you know, if you don't have stuff lined up for a little bit ahead, it's you know, kind of touch and go sort of thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I've been working up until about a month ago, and now I'm just waiting for some other stuff to come up. I might have some prospects on renovating a house out in Goodwood there.
Oh, okay.
So I'm just getting ready for that in a few days from now, and otherwise I'm just kind of just taking it easy here.
Good. Maybe we should announce your name. Not your name, your phone number on the air, and you know, if people have some stuff lined up, maybe they'll be able to get a hold of you, you know. And actually, you know, if you're like me, you might not even know your phone number because it's hidden somewhere in there, and you just wait for the thing to ring. Do you have it? All righty, here you go. If you're looking for a handyman, he's a good guy. His name is Ken, and you can get him pretty much any time at 905-767-5366. Of course, folks, when he's on the air, you can't get him. So give him an hour, then you can call him, ring him off the wall. So Ken, I don't know how long ago you were on. That's it seems like a while, but I don't know, what is it, 6 months maybe or less?
It's 5 or 6, I think, for sure now, if I remember correctly. Okay. Yeah.
Anything changed?
No, life's been pretty well the same, some up, some down, things, you know, but I've made it through this far, and by the grace of God, I hope to go all the way through, and but there's been some a few rough times.
Yeah, a little rough road.
Yeah, but otherwise, everything's not too bad.
Good to hear. Yeah. Well, actually, the step we're focusing on is, we call it the last phase of our program, because we run the program on a calendar basis. In other words, because there's 12 steps in our program and there's 12 months in the year, we always follow the step that corresponds with the month. And the step for this month is, it says here, I'll just read it and we'll take it apart from there. But it says, having had a spiritual awakening, and that can be any kind of spiritual awakening. We're not out here drumming for religion. And, you know, we believe in relationships with the Almighty or with the God, the way you understand God. But we don't push religion, because religion, unfortunately, has caused a lot of problems over the years, into history and even into today. So having had a spiritual awakening of some sort by doing these steps, or as we did them, we're now ready to carry this message and to tell others basically how we've made it, you know, and how we've overcome whatever it is we were trying to overcome. And in some cases, it's simply people who just aren't feeling good about where they're at, who they are, and you know, and others who have mental illnesses, others who have addictions, others who are grieving. We pretty much support anybody out there who needs support. But in this phase, we've learned how to be pretty supportive in maybe many areas, but maybe in a specialty area. For instance, if we did or do have an addiction, most people agree that if you have one, it's something that's always there, but you create coping skills and learn how to handle it. Some of us believe we can ask for spiritual miracles and totally get rid of it. I've seen that, by the way, sometimes, so not to refute it. So we're trying to pass on what we've learned coming this far. And in our case, every year we do the whole program, so we've come from the beginning where we said, yeah, we recognize we got some kind of problem, and then maybe something out there is greater than me that can help me with this. And then we start this spiritual relationship with the God of our understanding, and we do some work around who we are, where we came from, maybe troubles we might have had earlier in life, and how we've basically lived, survived, and trying to find some reasons in this inventory part as to who we became, good, bad, or ugly. And then we built more on the relationship. And then we decided with this program we needed to take care of old business. You know, we needed to recognize that, like everybody in this life, if you've lived a number of years, you've probably created some circumstances in your own life that you don't like. Others have probably created the circumstances in our own lives or your own life which you or I don't like. And that's all like part of the deal. So we're trying to become better copers with our lives, but we have to do or make restitution. I guess that's the easiest way. And beyond that, we work a little more on our spiritual relationship. And then we get to the end, like we're at now, at the end of the year. And, you know, with Christmas and New Year and the festive season for all sorts of people around the world, it's a happy time, or it's a build-up toward a happy time, but it's not for everybody. I mean, some people have lived the kind of life that a festive time is actually a painful time for a lot of people. So we've got to remember all these things as we work these programs. And this this reading today is called Sharing Together. And actually, Ken and I do a lot of sharing, and we share around our beliefs in a lot of scriptural matter, and you know how we believe in different parts, you know, and we're able to discuss it and find, you know, a common ground in a lot of areas. And I think to have a friend, you've got to have some common ground. This is really what it's all about. And this sharing together, this is what I love this step so much, is it's really the basis for sharing the burden, because we couldn't make it if we had nobody to support. And we couldn't make it if we couldn't, share our own experiences, which are often quite painful, in order to help the person who has a rough time getting things out, especially getting them out to where they're sharing them, or even talking to one person, even to talking to their sense of God. However, we do believe that we do need to share pretty much everything with somebody, not everything with one person necessarily, but we learn over time that we really need to share, and it's huge, and it's even biblical. And as a matter of fact, for those who happen to be Christian, I'll read this this bit of scripture, because I think it's so meaningful. So anyway, part of this says, and it's in Galatians for those studious sorts, number 6:1-2 says, "And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of God," or Christ for the Christian. The command was, you know, one taught to his disciples, actually. And, and he says in a comparative way, in a different area of Scripture, he says, "Now I'm giving you a new commandment, to love each other as I have loved you. And you should love each other." And so, you know, supporting or being charitable, in my estimation, is really being loving. What do you think about that, Ken? Do you think this is a good step, this where we sharing our pieces of our life, at least, and to help others find that will and that way to share some of their experiences in order to make the difference in another life, maybe somewhere out there, you know? And what's your sense on that?
Yeah, I think it's very important. I find that if you stay alone by yourself, you get into some troubles, probably loneliness, and then that can lead to other things. If you have problems with addictions, you can try to lose your loneliness with that, whatever it may be, alcohol, mm-hmm. drugs, whatever you may be hooked up on. And so I feel that it's quite important, at least it has been for me, to have a relationship or friends that you could share things with, and the things you shared would probably stay with them and not go around the world.
Yeah.
That's another thing about sharing with people.
Yep.
People can, you can get damaged by people sharing your story with the wrong people. And but yes, I find it very, very helpful to have a good friend like my friend Scott here. We talk quite a bit about different things, and it's much appreciated for sure.
Yeah. Thanks, Ken. It seems that, you know, sharing, and when this name came to us in the beginning, it just came out of thin air. Nobody had, you know, a great idea of, you know, trying to be in line with so many different things. But it's turned out over time that we're in line with a lot of things, not only, you know, spiritual or scriptural things, but we're in line with a lot of what's going on everywhere, and in a lot, really, with almost every sort of help organize, you know, bona fide real help organization is out there. Is it almost always boils down to this simple word, share, you know, or sharing, because for one thing, nobody's of any use to anybody when they don't have any idea what's going on in their life. But at the same time, if people prod people in a certain way when they don't want to be prodded, then they're never going to get near enough to make a difference. Ken and I were talking about this on a drive-in this morning, that, you know, yeah, we sure need each other, but there's a lot of love in silence. And what we meant by that was, it's not words that make the difference. Matter of fact, a couple of pieces I'll read to you later that demonstrate this, but it's who we are, and it's how others are around us. You know, like, you know, are we comfortable people? Are we trying to get into other people's lives and really help them? And a lot of people out there really believe that by prodding and pushing and giving people advice that they never asked for will really help them. And we all know anybody who's been compulsive or addictive tendencies or has had control issues, we realize right away that if we're pushed, we rebel, you know. As a matter of fact, I know, having my son who died of an overdose of fentanyl some years ago, but living the life with him, I learned in a hurry that anything I told him that he didn't want to hear just caused him to do more of the thing we were talking about. So it really, you know, when people put their nose where it shouldn't go, they can really damage people. And I think people need to know that, you know. I mean, everybody's heart is in the right place when they're saying, you know, well, you should do this and you should do that. I mean, I tell people most days of the week in the jails that if somebody says to you, if you do this, this will happen, or if you do that, that will happen, I tell them, if it were me and I heard that, I would run. Because nobody, you know, unless you happen to be God or feel that God somehow has endowed you with something special, and even that I would question, to be honest, but anybody who just tends to say they know, you know, that when and how and so on, they can't know, it's impossible. So I just say, you know, let's be together, let's be strong together, let's be supportive. And supportive oftentimes is a silent kind of love, and I think, I know I appreciate that, because I'm somewhat of a rebel. If actually somebody uses the should word to me, I'm not far and not long from probably moving out of that situation, because I can't handle it more than anything else. So so when you think, Ken, when you think back a little bit and think about anything that might be a contributing factor, you know, growing up on the farm, for instance, or partly on the farm, I guess. You did have a farm.
Yep.
Your dad had
yes.
a farm. Yeah.
Small
and,
farm.
Yeah. So you know that side of life, which, by the way, folks, I'm in awe of farmers in general, because, you know, they're the first up and the last to go to bed, and it's kind of like life's like that forever. And that's tough. And farmers today, 90% of the time have to have other jobs because the farming just doesn't cut it. So, you know, these people can not only fix everything on a little farm, which, you know, a little farm today be 100 acres, but in the old days that was a nice piece of property, and you could even live and make some money off of that. And today the main farmers are big guys with big machines who, you know, rent the properties of hundreds of people and do thousands of acres. But it's a different story. So you can grow up that way. You know that life. Basically, you know, without the people, it'd be a good life, right?
That's funny. Well, without some of the people, I wouldn't be here. That'd be mother and father. But,
that's true.
I grew up back in the day, of course, where things were pretty well told to you how to think and what to do and when and how and all the rest. So you didn't have to really think on your own too much. Mm. And so that's not quite the way to be, I don't think. I think everybody should be allowed to grow up and learn, you know, even if you make some mistakes, to learn and think on your own. And I'm not saying it was overdone to an extreme. Most of the mistakes or any problems I've had in my life, I could mark down to being from myself, probably, or my reactions to other people.
Yeah.
And or the right reactions or the wrong reactions. And just think that, you know, it's like you were saying, sometimes silence is a good teacher and a good friend. And
You know, as I was thinking, I remember you telling me your dad's of German descent, right? And and he would have been, you know, in the old days, of course, you know, my dad talked about the Jerrys, and because he was in the Second World War, and you know, they weren't on the same side, as you know.
No.
And but it's interesting because your dad, although he might have been a little too young or something, he didn't take action, but he got involved with what it was like the youth group or something. So I mean, that makes a pretty tough, hard-nosed human being. I mean, just entering those ranks, let alone staying in there for a while. And I mean, you have to be pretty much cream of the crop even to be involved. So it's six of one, half a dozen of the other. But where he didn't see the action, he still would have learned the basics, you know. And that's tough stuff. I mean, tough and really tough for anyone around them, I would say. Now, you know, your dad was, in a sense, a loving, more solid in a sense, in terms of what he knew, you know, scripturally, we'll say, to put it that way. But I mean, scripturally too, still can just mean memorize a lot of stuff in a book for a lot of people too, you know.
Yeah.
As opposed to a heart thing, so.
Yeah, I'm not having the proper balance, probably. Nothing against your father, personally, I love him very much. But found it very easy to over-discipline and under love, and that type of thing. That's about as simple as I can make it. But things are different now. Of course, different now. We're all changed and grown, hopefully, to some extent. And
and he can't carry the stick anymore.
Well,
he's too old.
Yeah.
Folks, we're always happy to have a dad around, and you know, at all, but to have one elderly like so, and being taken pretty good care of where he is and so on, you know, we're just kind of playing around and saying, well, you know, dad could be here for another 50 years. And I'll tell you a quick little story, and then we'll take a break. I told it to Ken earlier, but my sister, Heather, and I were on chemical treatment. I was on an interferon program for a metastatic melanoma, and she was on a chemo program for breast cancer that had spread and come back. And so we both, you know, numbers-wise, didn't have a lot of hope. But anyway, Kelly, that's my daughter, but Heather had this dream, and in the dream, she got a letter, and she got the letter from God, from Jesus, you know, whatever you people deem God. But she received this letter, and the letter simply told her that her brother, meaning me, one of her brothers, Scott, was going to live a long, long life, a long, healthy life. And, you know, we were both wondering if we'd live at all at that point. And Heather came back and she said, she was really excited and happy to tell me this news, you know, because it impacted her. She was a believer and thought, wow, this is a good deal. And then it got silent a bit, and she said, I was really hoping that I'd get a letter too, you know. And a little while later, Heather was gone, so, the letter wouldn't have been true for her. And 20 years later, I'm still here doing more than I've ever done in my life, in a sense, and feeling that, I might be around for a long time. And I'm not sure, 100% sure, how happy my wife is, because she's a little younger and figure she'd be around a lot longer than me. So, we'll take care of our wills and everything will work out. But anyway, all kidding aside, so it is, some of these spiritual things are just unbelievable. So anyway, hold some thoughts, you guys, and we're going to head out. We're going to get Jay, our famous producer. Never gets the recognition he should, and Jay, I'm sorry for that. I can see you behind the wires and mics here and so on, and now that you don't have to teach me, you can probably relax today and enjoy what you're doing. But would you take us out and pay some bills for us?
Sure. Well, Scott, thank you so much for saying that, and it's been a pleasure to, I think we've been doing the show here for about 3 years now, so... Yeah. But now it's time to pay some bills, and we'll be back here on Sharing the Burden on Whistle FM.